Hey, welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt, and I'm so glad you're joining me today for what I know is life-transforming truth. I'm believing that you'll never be the same as you listen to these episodes, not because of me, not because of who I am, but because there is power in the Word of God. So many scriptures, so many passages all through the Bible talking about the power of God's Word. One comes to me from Isaiah, where God said, "My Word shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish that for which it is sent forth." And in the New Testament, it speaks about the disciples going out and proclaiming the message of Jesus and the Word of God. And the Scripture says, "And God confirmed their word." What was their word? It was the Word of God. Confirmed their word with signs following. So I just believe with all of my heart that God's going to do some mighty things in your heart and in your life as we're digging into God's Word, and into particularly the book of Acts. This is our second episode. Yesterday, I gave you some background of the book of Acts, how it came forth. And so today, we're going to go ahead and we're going to read what we could call it the first paragraph. I'm going to read the first three verses and we'll comment on that. So verse one, and by the way, when Luke wrote this, he did not write in chapters and verses. When did he write this? Well, I'm going to have to check this out. But it was probably in the sixth decade of the first century, somewhere in the area of 60 AD. But I will get it a more. We don't have an exact date because it is not dated. So there's a bit of speculation about this. But anyway, it would be in the sixth decade of the first century. And I'm going to go ahead and read the first three verses and then we'll comment on them. He says and I wanted to mention, he did not write in chapters and verses. The original book, letter, history, it's actually a history. It's not a letter, it's a history. That he wrote for the benefit of a person called Theophilus, which was most likely a high official in some part of the Roman Empire. And he begins by saying, "The former account I made, O Theophilus," the former account being the Gospel of Luke. So Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he wrote the Acts as a subsequent follow-up to the Gospel of Luke, to tell us what happened after Jesus rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and sent back his Holy Spirit. That's where the Gospels end. He tells us what happened after that. "Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up," talking about his ascension, "after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." In verse 3, I want to focus on this part of verse 3 where he says, "to whom he also," talking about Jesus, "presented himself alive," talking about to the apostles and to others. We know that the first person who received an appearance from the risen Lord was Mary Magdalene, whom he sent then to tell his male disciples that he was alive. And Sue and I have written about that in other places, pointing out how Jesus purposely appeared first to Mary Magdalene and purposely required that the male disciples hear for the first time. Now, he appeared to them later, but it required that they first hear the message of his resurrection from the mouth of a woman. Now, why would he do that? Well, because they had prejudices in their hearts and minds towards women, and it was his way of doing something, because he knew that actions speak louder than words. So this was his way of challenging the sexual gender prejudices in the hearts of his disciples towards women. But then he appeared to the 12. He appeared to other disciples, appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus that Luke, that the same Luke tells about towards the end of his gospel. Paul talks about in Acts 15 that he says that Jesus appeared to over 500 adelphoi, which means is a Greek word for brothers and sisters. He appeared to over 500 of his followers, Paul said, at one time. And Paul was writing, that was in his letter to the Corinthians. It's one of the earliest letters. It's believed that it was written in the fifth decade of the first century. So about 20 years after the resurrection, he's writing this. So many of the people are still alive. And he says, Paul says, of whom many are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. And so verse 3 says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. The NIV says by many convincing proofs. There's a margin in my Bible. I'm reading New King James. It says by many unmistakable proofs. So the resurrection of Jesus is based on solid historical evidence. And that's the only way we know anything about history. That's the only way we know that there was a person named Julius Caesar, or Kublai Khan, or Martin Luther, or, you know, we could just go all down through history, George Washington, or Christopher Columbus. How do we know that these people existed and did what we're told they did? We only know it by historical testimony, by people who were their contemporaries, or maybe even somebody after they lived, but who had privy to the facts and to other eyewitnesses. They wrote down these things. So this is the only way we know history. And the resurrection of Jesus is we could say, and actually there was a lawyer by the name of Simon Greenleaf who said this, that it is the best attested event in all of human history because there are so, as Luke said, so many infallible, unmistakable proofs. So many eyewitnesses saw him, and there were so many people who were still alive when all of this was happening, when they were preaching this, and when these witnesses were declaring this, but their opponents were not able to refute it. Just think about this: the resurrection, death, crucifixion took place in Jerusalem. Now, after the resurrection and Jesus began appearing to his disciples, they were transformed. Before, they were hiding in fear. But now they are so convinced that they are transformed and they're willing to put their lives on the line. And they begin to preach that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And thousands in Jerusalem are believing their message. Even among the priests, Luke tells us, are turning and accepting Jesus as the Messiah. And so the Jewish and Roman authorities, for sure, if they could have produced the body of Jesus, they would have, because they would have put it up, paraded it publicly, put it on public display in Jerusalem, and that would have been the end of Christianity. That would have been the end of this Jesus movement. But there was no body to be found. And his followers continued to boldly proclaim that he was alive. And then the Holy Spirit began to do miracles, confirming the word that we were preaching, resulting in hundreds and thousands of more accepting Jesus as the Messiah. And I want to say this in closing. These appearances, these post-resurrection appearances, there's a period of 40 days from the time of his resurrection to the time of his ascension, in which he appeared to different disciples over this 40-day period. And these were not, let me just look at my book here, because I have this written out, spelled out in my book, Discovering the Real Jesus. And I have a chapter here. Let me tell you, bear with me, I'll tell you what it was. Yeah, chapter 11 is the resurrection of Jesus. And I give you all the historical evidence. And I give you examples of lawyers and journalists who were, before they dug in to studying the facts about Jesus' resurrection, they were skeptics, they were atheists, but they were convinced by the evidence. So these resurrection appearances, they were not apparitions or visions, because Jesus stood before them and said, "Hey, it's really me," because they were afraid. "What are we seeing here? Is this a ghost?" He said, "No, look at my hands and my feet." Why do you say, "Look at my hands and my feet"? Because they had the holes from the that were driven into them. He said, "Hey, look at my hands and my feet. Come ahead, feel of me and see. It is really me." He was in his resurrection body, the kind of body we're going to have one day. And because he knew that they were still in amazement, in awe, said, "You got anything to eat?" And so he sat down and he ate with them. Not an apparition, not a vision, but the real resurrected Jesus and Lord, to whom he appeared, Luke says here, by many infallible, convincing proofs. Oh, I want you to know that Luke, who is in the modern world, has become known as a world-class historian. You can count on Luke. We can count on the witnesses of those early witnesses. We can count on those. Jesus really is alive today, and he's still pouring out his Holy Spirit. And I just want to invite you today, if you have never put your faith in Jesus and trusted him to forgive your sins, make you into a new person, and make you ready for eternal life in heaven, put your life in his hands today. Just pray this prayer after me. Almighty God, I choose to put my life in your hands today. I choose to believe in Jesus Christ, that he is alive today, that he was raised from the dead on my behalf. Forgive me of my sins. I will confess you as my Lord, and I will do my best to follow you all the days of my life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And now invite God to fill you with his Holy Spirit, just like he did those early disciples. Ah, your life will never be the same. This is Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. Can't wait to be with you tomorrow as we continue talking about the book of Acts.